on today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. It's just me and you again. And that's it. You know, no guest. But I really wanted to have a bit of a conversation around this question. What is hop? Isn't that a duh? I don't know. Let's talk about it. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Hello, howdy, hi, everybody. Thanks for being here again today. I mean, I really appreciate it. You know, the last episode, I got a little deeper on that, but I'm just going to tell you that because I really like saying it is thank you. I genuinely appreciate that you come here and you hang out with me and we get to have these awesome conversations about making the world a better place to work. It means a ton to me that you would invest a bit of your time to be a part of this conversation. Let me throw this out there too. If there's anything in particular that you would like for me to chat about here on the podcast, or if there is a particular guest, or maybe that guest is you and you would like to be on this show, it's super easy. You just send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. That's the way you get a hold of me for everything. If you want to talk hop, if you want to set up some introductory something, you know, to see if we can help you and your organization on your human and organizational performance journey, whatever, anything that you're trying to get a hold of me for, it's pretty much thehopnerd@gmail.com, or you can head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, and there's handy-dandy contact boxes everywhere. You can sign up to be in the little mailing list thing. We've been sending those bad boys out about once a week with just a little bit of an update, which is cool. It gives you a little bit of an update of who's on the pod, kind of where in the world I'm at that week, and then just anything else that I feel like or have time to put in there. If we're posting new blog posts and things like that over on the website, it's just a great way to really keep up with everything that we've got happening, from, again, the blog and the podcast and the merch shop and the resources and the videos and on and on and on. If you're looking for an easy way to kind of keep your pulse on everything with the Hop Nerd LLC, the Hop Nerd Podcast, that little universe, microverse, I don't know what you call that, but that's a great way to do it. So if you just cruise over to the website, you can find the little mailing list sign up thing on your own. It's super duper easy. Do me a favor, make sure that you're following along on all things social media. Sam Goodman, look for my ugly mug, the Hop Nerd LLC, look for the logo. Over on Instagram, it is the Hop Nerd, and I keep sharing that that's like the super duper secret hangout spot, because most of what I share there is not just work stuff. So LinkedIn, I try to keep it, you know, because the LinkedIn police, is that still a thing that we talk about? Like, this isn't work related. All right. So I post family stuff over there too, and pictures and this and that, and some of the adventures, misadventures, all the stuff that comes along with, you know, jet setting around the globe, the planes, the trains, the automobiles, the covered wagons, the scooters here and there. You know, you find those every now and again, the little tuk-tuk things. Yep, we've been there, done all that stuff. But it's a great way to keep up with me over on Instagram, because you get more family stuff, and you get like, hey, here's just stupid memes and videos that I like to share. So if you're in the mood for stuff that's not work-related, Instagram is probably the go-to. That's about the only one that I use other than LinkedIn. I'm on the platform formerly known as Twitter as well, but just I only post about once every 3 months. And then, as you know, YouTube, keep an eye on that. Make sure you're subscribed over on YouTube, because it's just waves. It's like I post a bunch of videos, one or two a day for like a month, and then nothing for like 6 months, and then another batch, and then nothing, and then another batch. That's just how I do things. I know it's not the best. If you're looking to become a YouTube famous, I don't think that's how you do it, but that's just how I do it, because it doesn't drive me insane. So with all of that said, let me also tell you that if you need a hand, my calendar is getting tighter and tighter and tighter and and tighter. Like it's, I've got weeks out there, I've got days out there, but some of my travel is far, far, far away. Meaning that, you know, sitting on a plane, 30 hours there and 30 hours back in transit, which just kills 7 or 8 days by the time you throw, you know, the actual work in the middle of that. So my calendar is getting eaten up. So if you need a hand, I would encourage you that if you can, if you're ready for that, to send me an email or cruise over to the website, set up that initial call. Let's get you on the calendar now before it's completely pushed down to 2025, because we're already pulling 2025 dates in there as well. Now, we do partner with amazing folks like our friends over at Grit. I said the platform formerly known as Twitter, but I think I need to say the human and organizational performance consultancy formerly known as the artist formerly known as Paradigm Human. They've evolved, right? So they've evolved towards Grit. And that's my amazing friends, Teresa and RJ, and although their amazing team of folks over there. We partner with them on many, many, many things. So don't hesitate. If it's a small project, a one day thing, yep, we got you. If it's a multi-year, help us grow this throughout our organization from start to finish, or from start to we've got it, at least, we can do that and everything in between with those fine folks over there and our little network of independent solo practitioners. We can do a lot of stuff. What's the old saying? No project too small or too big. We mean it. We absolutely mean it. If we're the right folks to help you, we would love to partner with you and your organization on your HOP journey. That starts with a simple email or just heading over to the website and setting up that call. Super duper easy peasy lemon squeezy. Okay. I don't think I have much to update you on today, other than that normal kind of stuff. By the time you're listening to this one, I think I'm either in Africa, North Africa, or on my way to Africa. And then I will be in Ohio and parts of West Virginia and Iowa and Alabama. And I think I'm going back to Chicago, Philadelphia. I don't know if I've already been in Philadelphia. I'm trying to summon my calendar in my mind, and that never works well. But you get the point. If I'm in your neck of the woods and we've got time and you want to meet up, I'm up for that, man. I do that all the time. We'll go grab a cup of coffee and we will talk HOP. I just love meeting so many of you face to face. It's just awesome to get to put a name to a face. I'm going to tell you, though, I will shake your hand, but I'm a hugger, so I'm going to come in for a hug. I'm just letting you know, and I love catching up over a coffee and talking HOP, so don't hesitate to reach out to me. Or if I'm in your neck of the woods and you want to do some of these sessions or you need some help with HOP in any form, fashion, shape, or another, if I'm already there, two birds, one stone, let's make it happen. And, you know, I'm always going to ask you for coffee and steak recommendations, so pretty please. I've confessed my guilty pleasure of Zen, right? I've said that more than once. In all transparency, I quite enjoy it. And so I will tell you that I wish somebody would have told me before I went to Canada once that, not that long ago, that Zen was practically illegal everywhere. You can't find it. I got myself in a bit of a bind there, so I was a bit of a grumpy boy for a few days, but it was fun. It was totally fun. I just compensated with copious amounts of cold brew coffee and red meat, right? So that's how you overcome those things. But let me know any pro travel advice, pro tips that you got. If you know your ears perked up when I said one of those cities or places that I'm going, please let me know. Watch out for this, or definitely go eat there. I'm here for it. So again, just the email or DM. You can slide into the DMs on pretty much anything, LinkedIn, Instagram, maybe. I don't know. This is how little I'm on the platform formerly known as Twitter. Is that I don't even know if it has DMs. I'm assuming that it does, but I've never actually looked in mine, which is. That's interesting. I should probably go look. There's probably some weird stuff in there. But I'll shut up, and here we go. Let's dive into this conversation around what is HOP? Will it be a short one? Will it be a long one? Will this take 10 minutes? Will it take 72 hours? Who knows? You know how this goes. But either way, let's have this conversation right about now. So, big question, huh? What is HOP? Now, let me start here by saying this. To me, personally, at the core of human and organizational performance, it's a fundamental shift in how we view people. It's really humanizing our approaches, Now, sometimes the catalyst that brings this into an organization is safety. So sometimes it starts with humanizing our approaches to safety. But if we're dehumanizing people in our approaches to safety, it's not just contained to safety. We rarely just have, oh, we just have safety problems. Yeah, keep telling yourself that. I'm sure. That just feels like the right place to start. Right? It genuinely does. That feels like the right place to start. It's about humanizing our approaches to safety and beyond. It's really about starting from a place of trust rather than starting from this normal distrusting position, you know, where we poke and prod people, we put them through varying levels of tests and interviews and this and that and the other. Some places we literally draw blood. I'm going to pick on Jarell and a bit of the nursing profession here a bit, where so many like hospitals that you work for, they nicotine test you. Like, oh, you have nicotine in your system. You're not allowed to work here. You're untrustworthy. And, you know, that's beyond obviously trustworthy stuff. It has more probably to do with insurance than anything else. But me and my Zen would not be welcome in many healthcare systems, at least here in the United States. Like, no, 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 no. Don't want you. Don't need you. Get out of here. You no, 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 no. Shame, 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 shame. We poke, we prod, we draw blood, we pull hair. We do all that stuff. We put people through psychological examinations, all these things really in an effort to grow, to build trust in this person, right? To let's make sure you're competent. Make sure you can do this job. Let's make sure you're a fit for the organization. But let's really boil that down to this idea of trust, that we can trust you. And then once we get them to our organizations, then we push them back to a position saying, yeah, we did all that, but we still don't trust you. All of our systems are built on distrust. They're built on this idea of not trusting those pesky people that work within our organization because they're always trying to get something over on us. They're always just trying to take advantage of the company. If we're not always watching, they're just rob us blind. Those people, they're terrible, terrible, terrible. We just need to have all these really rigid rules and guardrails and surveillance systems to make sure that these people that we put through like a 2 or 3 months worth of interviews and testing and all that stuff to show that we could trust them. No, we can't trust them. So yeah, it's about starting from a place of trust because we know that if we want to grow trust up through our organization, we must first be willing to extend trust down and throughout. Right. We've had this conversation a bunch, you know, it's from 10 ideas. It's starting from a place of trust. It's embracing the human element of our work world. It's understanding that people show up to do a good job. It's understanding that people are the solution. People are our problem solvers. They're not a problem to be managed. People have all of the operational information. Those that do the work have operational reality. So it's constantly and deliberately learning from those that do the actual work. Now, I'm going to pull all of that rambly rant, right? So let's boil all that down into treating people like people, humanizing our approaches, outgrowing our maybe more typical parent-child approaches to management and leadership that we see in so many of our organizations, you know, where we treat our employees like kids, which is insane. It does not work, and it just makes for a real fun time all the way around, right? Fun. That's a blast. Humanizing our approaches. It's that. Let's start there. It's humanizing our approaches. Now, personally, I define HOP as this, and it gets me some heat because you have some purists out there in these different schools of thought, and I'm not even going to call them schools of thought now. I think it's probably more of like encampments. Does that fit? Cults? Maybe cults fit better in those places? I don't know. You know, something like that. You've got kind of Jonestown on one side and the Manson family in this corner and maybe Heaven's Gate over here and the Branch Davidians over here and on and on and on. If you can't tell, I really enjoy watching cult TV shows. Anything like that. I'm a Discovery Plus fiend. That's my go-to. But it's that. It's really just this argument. It's this argument on the internet. I'm right. No, you're definitely wrong. No, we're right. I'm going to throw a rock at you because that's not purist. That's not the most purist version of HOP. That company's dumb because they didn't just take that thing as written how I wrote it as a consultant and tried to sell it to them. They didn't just take that and do it like I told them to. And it's just that. It's dumb. It's dumb and it's boring. It's boring. It's boring. It's such a boring conversation that I get involved in none because it's boring and it seems like an epic waste of our time. It really does. I see more conversations happening, mostly on the internet, you know, La La Land, as we like to call it, about I'm right, you're wrong. No, I'm right. No, I see that conversation. And I see this conversation of, no, I said it first. No, you didn't say I said that first. That no, no, I had that idea first. They said it first. Now you don't understand. It's such an epic waste of time. Now, this isn't going to completely devolve into that rant, but I think that needs to be said, that it is a waste of our time. It is a absolute time suck to argue with people on the internet about who said what first, about who did what first, about this is hop, that's not hop. No, that's safety traditionally. No, that's safety differently. No, that's one. That's safety two. That's safety 47. It's just dumb. It's just boring. And it's not doing us favors. It's really not. It's just a waste of our time, and it's not helping us make things better. It's really not. So the way that I tend to define hop, the way that makes the most sense to me, and the way that has made the most sense to organizations that I spend time with, because I am a bit of a purist around those five core principles, the Todd principles. I am a bit of a purist around those things because I've seen them in action. I know how well they work. Now, that's not to say that those five principles can't be molded and adapted as long as the intent and the underlying ideas and assumptions. Of course, some of the best organizations that I work with that I would consider world class, and I mean that not as the made up stuff that our marketing people come up with, you know, as companies, but as like legitimately world class companies, they take those things and they mold them into what their principles are, and they take them across the organization in a context that makes sense to them. Duh. Of course you should. Yeah, you get a lot more bang for your buck doing it that way, 110%. But I'm bringing this back to the definition, because the definition that I like to use does include those five core principles. I like to define HOP as a collection of better beliefs, assumptions, thoughts, and ideas from diverse and varying sources that we apply through the lens of a core set of principles. Those core principles, of course, being error is normal, blame fixes nothing, context drives behavior, learn vital, and how we respond matters. Now, is that all that there is in the entire freaking world? No. Really? Like, we're going to pretend, we're going to pretend here for a second that those five core principles, that's it. Like, we don't have to have conversation about anything else ever again. No, of course not. There's a lot more. There's a ton more. Back to that definition, diverse and varying sources. I like to think of it more as a buffet. Really. And I know, like, I love a good buffet, especially if there's steak on that buffet. And it's not crappy steak. Like, it's not normal buffet steak. You know, it's like the good stuff. It's like a, you know, you go up and they carve the prime rib for you, like that kind of buffet. Yeah. I like to think of it like a buffet because, yeah, I think at the core of it all, you have to have those principles. Those need to be the better beliefs, the better assumptions. They need to be deeply embedded into your organization. I think that's a key piece of this, but that's not it. Like, there's more. There is so much more. Can you pull good ideas from all over the map? Absolutely. Should you bring those good ideas from more traditional approaches? Absolutely. Is there stuff that we learn in behavior-based safety that we should bring with us? Absolutely. Is there stuff from all those different camps, war camps, is really what it feels like, from this school of thought and that school of thought and this that's completely not even related to this? Absolutely. 110%. You should pull those better beliefs, those better ideas, those better assumptions, that knowledge. You should pull that together and you should apply it in a flexible fashion into your organization. You should grow it in your organization in a context that makes sense for your organization. I think it goes back to a really core bit of this that we talked about, I think, a bit last episode, and that we talk about a lot, that HOP is not a program. It's not an off-the-shelf something. If you just try to copy and paste those five principles, or you take our bits around operationalizing this stuff around the 10 ideas, if you take Sidney Decker's ideas from safety differently, if you take any of this stuff and you just copy and paste it over into a big screen printed, I guess you screen print banners, right? or you frame it. You frame it and you put it on the wall and say, these are our new principles. And that's all we do now. Here are the steps of doing a learning team. And we're just going to take it and just do it. And we just take that stuff and it's just ours now. Will it work for you? Maybe a little bit, but it's not yours. It doesn't work that way. You have to mold and adapt and tune and take what works for you and take and leave the stuff that doesn't. Like, this doesn't work well for me. This doesn't work. Now, I'm not saying that you can piecemeal the principles. Again, I think those principles are vital to us, especially when we first start on our journey, because I almost always find that, okay, we're good with this. And actually, you know, we're good with the blame fixes nothing thing, but maybe we're not so good at seeking to understand context. Oh, we're good with that, but we still panic and react. Like, even if we're good at a few of those, we're not great at all those when we first start. Embedding and growing those ideas up through our organization over time helps us set the stage to where then we can start to figure out what do we need a little salad off the buffet? Do we want to go, is it all prime rib or do we need a little potato here too? I don't think the carrots are going to work for us, but those sprouts over there, those stinking Brussels sprouts, I mean, you know, I didn't think Brussels sprouts would fit here, but they're glazed up and have some like chunks of bacon in there, you know, pork belly. Where I'm from, we call that fat back, right? So it's nice salt pork. You got some like nice salt pork chopped up in there, some fat back. I think it'll fit in nicely here. That's how you get there. To me, that's what HOP is. It's humanizing our approaches. We're applying it through that core set of principles. That core set of principles being exactly that, the core. Right, the core ideas here that we know we need these things present. We need these things working well. We need these better beliefs and assumptions within our organizations, or we're not going to get great at learning and improving. We're just not going to be great at operational learning, because all of that stuff genuinely, seriously, sets the stage for learning and improvement. It makes it to where at least learning is possible. And when you get really good at that stuff, when those things are truly embedded in your organization, it goes from possible to likely. Right, so we can't just piecemeal any of that stuff. But yeah, when we're kind of looking down there and go, you know, the learning team process that we normally share, you know, that doesn't really work well in our setting. We need to tweak that a bit. You know, I've got crews that work all over the globe and I can't just pull people together. How are we going to figure this out? Can you tweak it? You absolutely can. I'm going to sit here and encourage you to tweak it. I'm going to encourage you to experiment and figure out and see what works best for you. I'm going to be the last person to tell you, nope, follow as written. Anybody that's just telling you to follow as written usually has the one that done the writing, and they're going to tell you that it's the one and only right way and that you should pay them some exorbitant amount of money to license their one and only right way. And their one and only right way is usually full of shit, right? Because there's not only one right way. And you know this, right? We know this. There are hundreds, if not hundreds of millions, if not infinite right ways to do the same thing. So of course, take those principles. Keep those principles intact. Can you mold them into your own organizational principles and values? Of course you can, and you probably should, right? You absolutely can, and you probably should. You can't take one of those principles and not take the others, though. So don't piecemeal them out. But once you get those things embedded, learn the rest of it. Figure it out. Don't be afraid to experiment. If that seems like it's going to work, try it out. If it doesn't, toss it. If you take learning teams and you know, do this, and this, and that doesn't work well for you, tweak it, experiment with it, change it up. Don't be afraid to experiment. So again, back to this core definition for me, human and organizational performance. Personally, it's these better beliefs, these better ideas, these better assumptions from diverse and varying sources applied through that set of core principles. Really, it takes us towards humanizing our approaches. It takes us towards learning and improvement. It really helps us set the stage to create the environment in which learning and improvement is possible. And with enough time, with enough really embedding, changing of those assumptions over time, those deeply rooted underlying assumptions, we take learning and improving from possible to likely. And I want to couple that with the idea that we've been chatting around about. Don't get so crystallized in your approaches. Don't become so dogmatic. Don't fall into a cult. Like, we know that those are truisms, those principles, that when we apply those, that we help to create that environment which learning and improving is possible. We know that those things help us to humanize our approaches, that they help us to break down that parent-child relationship, that they help our organizations to treat people like people instead of unruly school children. We know those things. But don't get so mired down in this idea that it's just hop. If you just follow, just hop, then everything will be fine. Nothing bad can ever, and it'll just work. No, nothing in life works that way. You've got to learn your way towards how this works best for you. Take those principles. Let them guide you. Let them steer you. You know, when I was on a podcast with Steve and Scott not that long ago, Steve shared that, one of his definitions of success for HOP, at least with his leadership team that he was chatting about in the pod, I would encourage you to go back and listen to it, was that I will feel successful when you're looking at those things and you're using those principles to help you make decisions in the organization. And that's really it. Let those things be a bit of your North Star, those underlying beliefs and assumptions. Let them help guide you through this and figure out everything else between the lines. Really, when you look at that process and go, don't say, well, that process was traditional safety, so that means it's garbage because we do HOP now. No, look at it. Look at it and look through the lens of those principles. Well, no, wait a second. That program actually is really helpful. And we spent time learning from those that use that program, that process, that whatever, that something, those that actually use it, that they actually really depend on it, that it's super helpful for them. And of course, it has some traditional elements because traditional stuff's not all bad. BBS stuff is not all bad. Like anything that's not HOP is not just like the freaking devil. That's not true at all. Right. So they appreciate it. They value it. They use it. And it helps them to create success. Why the hell would we want to just rip that out? Because, oh, my God, it doesn't fall perfectly in line with exactly everything that's been written about HOP. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We're still doing traditional. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We still have some behavior based safety. Oh, my God. We're terrible. You're not terrible. You're just doing what you should be. That's exactly what you should be doing. Does this still make sense in our current organization's context? Does this still make sense with our better beliefs and assumptions? Do the people that actually have to use this, are they telling us? Are we doing this with them instead of to them? Are they telling us that, no, don't get rid of it. We like this. This is good. This is helpful. I don't care what you call this stuff. I don't care. We call it HOP because that's where we found ourselves. I don't care if you call this, super duper purple rainbow learning and improvement strategy. I don't care. Make something up because that's all that's happened around any of this. So we just made up names for it all, right? What I care about is that we're humanizing our approaches. What I care about is that people can tell us the truth. What I care about is that we can learn from those nearest to the work. What I care about is that we understand those principles, that we're extending trust down throughout our organization so we can grow trust, that we can treat people like adults. What I care about is that we're creating improvement over time. What I care about is that we're making the world a bit of a better place to work. Not just for safety stuff, not just for efficiency stuff, but overall a better place to work, treating people like people. I don't think that you have to have a fancy pants name for that. I don't think that you have to get all dogmatic and culty about that. I think that if you're going to do that, you're going to do that at the highest levels, then you're going to have to expand your mind a little bit, and you're going to have to reach outside of HOP, and you're going to have to reach outside of varying different types of continuous improvement and learning approaches. I think you're going to have to reach into all kinds of different spaces to pull in exactly what your organization needs at this time to do that stuff and do that extremely well. So I'm going to drop it on you one more time. That's why my definition of HOP. Are you ready for it? You've heard it a bunch. Better beliefs, ideas, assumptions, thoughts from diverse and varying sources, well beyond the world of safety and learning and improving, right? You can go all over the map and find stuff that's valuable in this particular world, applied through that lens of the core set of principles. We know the principles. I'm not going to say them again. Don't get so hung up on calling it this, calling it that. This is that school of thought, this is that. Spend your days invested into what we just said. How do we create an environment in which people know that they can tell us the raw and real truth, that they can teach us about normal everyday work, that we can actually learn and improve together instead of doing crap to people? How do we create that environment where we don't treat grown-ass adults like children? How do we create that environment? how do we create that environment where we make it just genuinely suck less? Like, work shouldn't suck. How do we create that? How do we set that stage for learning and improvement? How do we empower those nearest to the work to teach us? How do we do that? I think if you stay in that line of thought in humanizing our approaches, and especially with those principles, because they're truisms, right? We know that those things are good. We use those principles. We keep those in our back pockets. Where we go, sky's the limit. Go where you need to go. Bring in what you need to bring in. Cut out what you need to cut out. But don't just do it for the sake of, that's my house. That doesn't do you anything. For listening, everybody, we greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast, the Hot Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com or send me an email, thehotnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.